Hal, what's happening?
Okay, I want to get this out of the way in a hurry so I can listen because I'm in heavy traffic
okay.
for an hour. I got a couple hundred leads that I'm going to start calling. But I've got two things I wanted to ask you. One was the test that you said to give everybody. I thought I knew what it was, and I don't.
So it's called DISC, D-I-S-C.
D-I-S-C. Hang on. I'm going to try to write it down going down the road.
Yep. Yeah,
okay.
Don't do that.
All right. That's all right.
D-I-S-C.
I got it. Okay.
A couple options. You can, if you Google for a free DISC test, you can find it. There's about 12 questions. Rob always does the paid version. They're about $29. It creates a link. Send that link to whoever you're going to have take it, and then that's the full version. So here's what I like to tell people. If somebody's 100% honest on the free version, you'll get an accurate report. What the paid version does is it'll ask basically the same question multiple times to make sure it gets answered the same way. So it eliminates, you know, the person, you know, just answering either something that's not 100% true or answering in a way that they think you want. So, yeah, give them when you're going to give it to somebody, give them as little, you know, don't give any feedback. Certainly don't tell them you're looking for high D's and high I's.
No, I won't. I've got a gal that's been working for me for some time doing research, skip tracing.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Then I found out that she had worked for a couple of years as a telemarketer. So she might be.
Oh, wow.
I have a feeling she'll be a good, she can set appointments for me. And that's what I'm hoping, because with all these houses, I got the damn problem of trying to get home and still have enough life in me to call anybody. And
you need somebody that's dialing through the numbers, following the script, finding motivation, asking a few questions about the property, and then setting up your callback.
Right. Now, I got a question. Maybe I need to talk to you sometime first part of the week, but I'm having problems with the software as far, and I'm probably doing something wrong. But when I set these campaigns up for these people, because I got three different people that are doing vetting leads for me or doing research for me. Okay, getting phone numbers. And when I do them, the numbers never come out the same. I mean, the numbers that it says, the numbers of leads, it's always way off. I don't know what's going on. And you can't get rid of, I know I did, probably did some of it, but let's say I give them 20 leads to work on. And I take it from the campaign and I shift it over to their file. It's always off on the numbers. It might show that they got 50 leads, when they really only got 27. And I don't know what's going on. How do I figure that out?
Yeah, I'd have to look into it and see how you're moving them. There are a couple different ways to move leads in there. So we'd have to do a we can handle it outside of here.
Yeah, I figured we could. Can I send you an email the first of the week and maybe we can find some time?
Yeah. Yeah, touch base on Monday.
Okay. That's fine.
Yep.
That's all I got today. Okay.
All right. Drive safe.
All right.
Who else is on?
I'm here.
Tom, what's happening?
Oh, well, I'm in a new place. I think I sent you an email. I don't know if you got it, but I'm going to try something new. I'm in a shared office space. So
I did. I actually replied to your email.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that, because too many distractions at home. Some people can work at home. I never could. I got to get out of the house. And that's just, you know, whatever works.
I just don't know. I'll find out. I guess I'm talking now. I'm going to find out if I can, you know, make calls here without getting, you know, too self-conscious or whatever. But nobody seems to be listening to me, so that's good.
Yep. You're going to have a salesperson on board soon anyway.
Well, I was starting to do that today, and really, how do I word that when I'm looking for it? I'm going to be looking at maybe, say, let's say Craigslist. I know that Indeed, too. I haven't totally explored that yet. But you go to Craigslist, and then do I go into real estate, or what do you do?
Sales. And here's all you do to write a good ad. Go log in. So usually pick a different city, because you're not going to ever copy somebody's ad, obviously, but you can certainly follow format. Read through 5 to 10 of them that other people have posted with interesting headlines. Find ones that you like, and then just use that as your template and build something similar. So don't post in the real estate section. Post in the sales section of Craigslist. It's a real estate lead, but a salesperson won't care what kind of lead it is. They just want to know if it's a good lead.
Okay. And, I mean, you just say, I'm looking for a salesperson for, you know, do you even say real estate or just looking for a salesperson?
Yeah, yeah, tell them that you need somebody to work real estate leads. High ticket items, $5,000 to $8,000 sales. So that's the thing is we don't have an ad template, but that's the best way to post it is just to find a couple that you like. They don't have to be really long. Tell them it's real estate leads. Real estate leads.
Okay, so that's the best way to kind of vet these people.
Phone call. Phone interview. Disc test. Probably maybe a quick second phone interview, and then Rob takes him to dinner. That's his. That's what he does. He and his wife take him to dinner. And they invite, this is the conversation we've had here on Office Hours is, if married, he says he doesn't really give them the option to not bring their spouse. If they're dating, he's not so adamant about it, but, you know, he just says, hey, we're going to dinner, you know, with my wife and I, do you have a significant other spouse, if they're wearing a ring, whatever, just kind of ask that question and say, great, when can the four of us go? And he does that because, the way he always kind of chuckles when he says it, but if they're married to crazy or dating crazy, then crazy's coming with them to work. That's just the way it is. So he wants to see, ideally he wants to go to dinner with them and spouse and significant others. So, you know, that's his process. You can modify it or just copy it. He's been doing it for a long time. So, but that's it. Phone interview, if that goes well. Disc test, if that comes back high D, high I, either a second phone interview or just go to dinner. So you'll be posting that ad here locally, and that way you can get together and do training if necessary, but that's how he does it.
Yeah, training is going to be tricky, seeing as I don't even know how to do it myself.
You're really just training him on a script.
Right.
And a salesperson isn't really going to care because you can just say this is why I need you. I need somebody that's wired for sales. Here's the script we work off. And you can grab all that in the coaching center. You can teach them how to evaluate deals and run numbers. Say, you know, what I want you to do up front is just find motivation. And then I can jump on the phone and make the offers. In the near future, you know, I'll do some training with you on how to evaluate deals and run them. So.
Okay. So, okay, on the other side of it, trying to find buyers has been challenging. Most of the numbers I have are no good. They're disconnected. I must have made 25 calls yesterday, and I got 2 decent numbers. And I went back to my skip tracer and said, hey, what's up? And she says, well, you know, I went to Intellius, and she used
So what? What data is she going off? Are they mostly individual names or are they company names?
She's going off. Sometimes it's company names and sometimes it's individual names.
If it's a company name, go to that corporatewiki.com. Is that what somebody mentioned on here that one time? Secretary of State website. A lot of times you'll be able to find stuff on there. Just depends, but try those as well. If you have a person's name, obviously go to the normal skip tracing places. But a lot of times you're going to find a company name or an LLC, corporation, something like that.
Okay, yeah. She also was using, what's the other one? TLO? No, is that it? What's it called?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Yeah, she was using one of those other ones that's, you know, really good. And yep. She said it's been really hard to find. So
drop them one of your postcards too.
Yeah.
When you have address, fire those out right away.
Yeah.
So yeah, look on Craigslist for buyers. Post on Craigslist that you have a contract for sale. Just leave it vague. And say contract for sale. Get people to call. You don't really have to post anything about the deal. Just generate the phone call. And then where else are you looking?
Where else am I looking?
Yeah.
Well, I have a bunch of leads I need to run down, but I got to find out if that's even a decent area, because I've got a bunch of leads for places that apparently nobody's interested in. So.
What do you mean? For this deal that you have under contract?
No. For
no, that's. I meant where else are you looking for buyers?
Oh, where else am I looking
for buyers? Or where have you looked currently? Yeah.
I've done a bunch of stuff on Section 8 and Hot Pads. Hot Pads is pretty good. It actually has people's phone numbers.
Hey, have your VA shoot, set up a campaign in FreedomSoft, tie a phone number to it, and tell your VA, or you can hire a new one if your VA is busy skip tracing. This is really simple. And have them go into go Section 8, and find phone numbers for landlords and just shoot them a quick message that says, hey, I saw your for rent ad here. We've got a contract for sale on a property in this zip code. Are you still buying? And then have them send that to every landlord they can find online, Craigslist and Go Section 8. And then I think you're using Hot Pads or something, but don't
right.
You do it. Pay a VA to do it. I mean, they'll just be able to do massive coverage in 2 to 3 hours, because they're going to copy and paste the exact same email, and so they'll just go right down the list. I mean, they'll do, if they jump into a good resource, they'll do one or two a minute.
So I set up a campaign for buyers, right? And then I set up an email account to that account.
No, just tie a phone number to it. You're just going to shoot a text. Yep. And then once that phone number's tied to it, they just click new SMS. So here's what you do, Tom. Go to the classroom tab in FreedomSoft.
Okay.
And on the very top section in the middle, there's a series of four videos called built-in SMS text and voicemail system. Watch video number 4. Rob shot all 4 of those. Video number 4 is on how to use a number for lead gen. And then just have a VA put an ad on Upwork and say, I need 3 to 5 hours of your time, and I'm going to award this job if somebody can start in the next 2 hours or whatever, and put it on first thing tomorrow morning, or put it on tonight. Somebody that can work tomorrow U.S. business hours. This is a very, very simple task. If you can work U.S. business hours tomorrow, give me a call, right? And then obviously specify. You don't want somebody in the, over in the Philippines or in another time zone shooting text messages at midnight to people here in the States, clearly.
Right.
Yep, and then have them pound it out. Just have them go like 3 hours and find, every number they can find, and just say, find landlords. You can go to Craigslist for rent. Go to Go Section 8. Tell them where to start. And then go here and just copy and paste the phone number, and then copy and paste the message. That's it. They'll generate. I mean, you'll have it's text message. So within the first 10, they won't send text messages, or I should say they won't send 10 without a couple replies already coming back. I mean, it's almost people just reply to text. And then the ones you just keep an eye on the ones that say, yeah, I'm still buying. And then you can just text them from FreedomSoft, or say, great, I'm about to call you from a 720 number, and then just call, jump on the phone.
So I'm just trying to write all this down, because I usually only get about half of it in my mind by the time the call's over.
Here's all you need to do is watch that video. So you don't have to take notes. Just watch Rob's video. Well, as soon as you hire the VA, you'll set them up as a user in your account, which you know how to do, and then watch the video.
But you put an ad in Upwork saying, I need somebody.
Put the ad in tonight. Let's say I need somebody who can work U.S. business hours. You know, start them at, what's Pittsburgh, Central or Eastern time?
Eastern.
Eastern, okay. So tell them, you know, something like 10 to 1 tomorrow, Eastern U.S. Eastern time, or noon to 3, something like that. And then put the ad in Upwork tonight, and then they'll reply to it. You know, you'll likely get some replies tonight, get somebody hired, and then watch that video.
Yeah, but in the ad on Upwork, I just said, I need somebody who can work these hours for...
Yep, so it's a very, very simple task. I'm going to have you send text messages to online, you know, the people that you'll find online. I can train you how to do it in 5 minutes. So if you can work these hours tomorrow, let me know, and I'm ready to award the job, and we'll get you set up. It's like about a three-sentence ad.
So the text, I just say I have a property under contract that you might be interested in. Are you still buying? I know you bought in that area. Or I know you've bought in the past. Are you still interested?
You're going to say, I saw your ad for rent on wherever they saw it. I have a contract for sale on a rental in this zip code. Are you still buying? Or are you looking for other properties? Whichever.
Okay.
And then get ready as soon as that person starts sending text messages. Just get ready to follow up with phone calls.
Okay.
Probably have them start on Go Section 8, and then you can also have them go to the Craigslist rental section and search for that zip code and the surrounding zip codes if you want, and start there, and then send that text to anybody who has a property for rent in Pittsburgh. Does that make sense? So start in and around the area.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I still haven't gotten in there yet. This guy's still out of town, so maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, so, well, you told us, I think last week, that not back until the weekend, so.
No, he's supposed to be back today.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, no big deal. Whenever he's back, you can get people in. You just got to drum up some interest, so. Good stuff.
All right, thanks.
Yep, who else is on?
Hey, Mike, this is Alex.
Alex, what's happening?
Hey, I was looking at the owners of some of the properties that I've gotten from leads, and
yeah.
I noticed, like, one of them was owned by the city. I don't know
yep.
what to do about those.
Yeah, good question. I'd move them to the back of the list. You're going to come across that where you get, you know, you'll find HUD in there. You'll find the city. Sometimes they have initiatives where they'll buy back beat-up houses. I'm not exactly sure what they do with them. So it just depends from city to city. Sometimes, you know, they've got, you know, like tax dollars or whatever. They'll try and fix them up a little bit, you know, city money to do that. So here's the thing. If, like I said, move them to the back of the list. If all other leads are covered, you know, you can give them a call and say, hey, you know, I was just looking up vacants in the area and saw that the city owns so-and-so. Who can I talk to about it? You know, what do you guys do with those? I'm an investor in the area. But I would push those aside.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because I've got quite a few of those.
The city, I tell you what, if they're fairly popular and you want to make a call down to the city office real quick and just say, hey, you know, I found these online. What do you do with these? Or who could I talk to about what you do with them? If they're coming up, they may sell them. Hard to say. So
yeah.
If you come across quite a few, yeah, maybe make a phone call on it.
Okay. I got to make it. I'm trying to filter through all my leads, so I thought that was
yeah.
a good question to ask you.
Yeah, if you've got a couple, if you have a couple, push them aside. But yeah, Hal, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, down here where I'm at in Georgia, the one county that I'm in, it's got all the houses. They got a land
yeah.
bank, and I was told by one of the city guys that, hey, Hal, you ought to go over there because they take these houses, and sometimes you can buy them for little or nothing. Now, they're probably in the war zone, but if they're cheap enough, they might still make a rental. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so,
something
anyway.
To think about.
Yeah, so,
okay.
Alex, it might be worth a phone call. Just get a city employee on the phone, tell them what you're looking for, and see if they can direct you towards the right person.
Okay.
My,
all right.
You know, obviously people have bad days, and, you know, if you call enough city employees, you're going to get somebody grumpy. But my experience has always been pretty helpful and easy to work with. So,
oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay, I could do that. Great. Thank
yeah,
you.
They may. When you tell them you're an investor and what you do, you know, you're looking to buy to somebody that's going to put some work into it, that might be right up their alley, or that could be what they do anyway. Maybe they acquire them and, you know, just trying to move them to other investors in the area to bring up the, you know, bring up the neighborhoods one house at a time. Hard to say.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
You're good point. All right, I'll give it a try.
How many leads do you have in so far, Alex?
Right now I got, I think about 120 now.
Nice. How many of those do you have skip traced?
Well, I just hired one guy to skip trace the first 20 that I did just to see how quickly he could do it.
Gotcha. How long did it take him?
Pardon me?
How long did it take him?
Oh, no, he just got it today, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, gotcha. He should have something for me by tomorrow, so.
So you'll be hitting the phones tomorrow?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get another VA to make the phone call for me, so.
Gotcha.
I just don't have the time for it. If they can, I'll give them the script, have them go over it, and stuff like that. Because I got a hold
yeah,
of a guy.
So,
from,
what's that?
No, I got a hold of a guy that's in the Philippines that can do it. His English is
gotcha.
Pretty good. So.
Make sure they're easy to understand. You know, some people have thicker accents than others. Make sure they have a really
yeah.
good connection because they're going to be on an internet phone of some kind.
Yeah.
You know, just our experience, internet in the Philippines can kind of come and go. So you also
yeah.
want to consider, see how that works, but you also want to consider a salesperson that you can just pay on commission. Somebody
yeah,
here
well,
in the States, you
yeah.
know, just like I was telling Tom, they can, you know, let them work the leads, even if they start out setting you up. But then you have, whether it's a VA, you know, I would say to hire a salesperson instead of a VA, get somebody here locally in the States.
Okay.
You know, run them through that method. Hire somebody local, put an ad on Craigslist, quick phone interview, tell them what you're doing. We generate great, you know, real estate leads. You've got the script, the whole nine, right?
Yeah.
And then put them through the disc test. The paid one is, you know, I was telling Hal, the paid one's better than the free one. It's only $29. A lot of your salespeople are going to be high D, high I anyway, especially if they've been around sales for any length of time. Because if they're not, then they're probably wired to hate sales and they wouldn't have lasted. So you get somebody that, you know, that's been around sales for 10 years. They're not always, but there's a good chance they're high D, high I.
Yeah.
But yeah, just go right to a salesperson. With the, it's not that a VA can't handle it and be effective, but, you know, our experience is get somebody in the States, get somebody who can sell, and then you just hand them good leads and watch them go.
Okay. All right,
yep.
Good point. Yeah, I just want to put together an acquisition team, that's all.
That's it.
That takes up a
lot. Yep.
Phone calling takes up a lot of my time.
And here's the thing,
just
too.
Especially
just filtering
through the lead.
Right. Right. Well, okay. You know, VAs are they're inexpensive. But you get a salesperson on commission, and you're not paying them until you get a check at the closing table. So, you know, just build them right in up front. You're not coming out of pocket to get somebody on board in that capacity.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, get the get those leads ramped up. Here's the other thing it does that's a good thing. You get somebody that starts cranking through leads, you know, 6+ hours a day, and you're going to have to keep the lead gen turned on, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
They'll, you know, you get somebody that's good, and they'll start making it rain, which is obviously the goal. So.
Yeah, well, this particular bird dog is finishing out one zip code that I've got him on, and now he's going to go to another one. He knows the area pretty well, so
yeah, good.
I'm just going to leave it up to him what zip code he wants to go to next. So
I like it.
We'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, don't let the data steer more than somebody who knows. I mean, you can get input from somebody, but go where either FreedomSoft or ListSource tells you the transactions are going down.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's where you want to send them. Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I got one zip code in mind anyway, so I'll take care of that. Okay.
Perfect.
Very
yeah,
good.
Let the data drive.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Mike, I got another quick question. What do you call somebody like this? Are they an inside salesperson? Are they a sales rep? Or what do you call them?
Yeah. All of the above.
All of the above. All right. Just wondering.
Either, yep. Sales rep.
Okay.
Yeah. Either way. You know, put in there, too, that it can be remote. Work from home, flexible.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's a good gig. Good leads. You know, if skip tracing is going well, here's kind of the benchmark. You ought to be getting between 45 on the low end and, you know, 45% on the low end and 65% on the high end. Of good numbers for these owners. You know, sometimes you have to call 8 to 10 numbers to find it, but somewhere between 45% and 65% of the leads, you should be able to find a good number for. So if you feel like you're not there, let's talk about your skip tracing process, but that's about where it should be.
Okay, that's good to know.
So yeah, step three is generate 250 leads. You know, that number's not by accident. Obviously, you can generate more than that, right? And over time, you will. But that gets you at 50%, obviously, 125 numbers to sellers, right? And if you're closer to that 60%, even more than that. So that's plenty of leads to turn on deals. That's enough leads to turn on quite a few deals. So.
Okay,
who else?
Cool.
Hey, Mike, it's Ben.
Ben, what's happening?
How's it going?
Good, you?
Not bad. We've had a lot of trouble getting our salesperson on board, but I just talked to a guy 30 minutes ago that I think is hopefully going to be pretty good. So.
Cool. How many have you talked to so far?
Dozen.
Cool.
Or so. We had one who we were trying to for like 3 weeks to get together with, but some family emergency came up, so she finally bailed. But so we're back out there again, but trying to get that done as soon as we can.
Yeah, that sounds good. And that, you know, that's it. We talk about it in orientation call, right? You're going to run into a snag somewhere along the road. It is what it is. I mean, we're dealing with people. Sometimes it's finding bird dogs. Sometimes it's a salesperson. You know, just that's just the way it is. So, yeah, keep pushing on. Sometimes you got to repost an ad or whatever the case. But where are you with this person you just mentioned? Have they gotten through the disc test?
I just sent it to him 2 minutes ago.
Okay, cool. How long?
I think I know the answer already.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Yeah, so the first interview went good.
Yeah, I just talked to him. I just posted the ad last night, talked to him today.
Okay.
So,
what kind of questions did you ask?
What's his experience with phone sales?
Yeah.
You know, is he comfortable cold calling? How much time can he spend on it? That sort of stuff.
Has he sold real estate before? Real estate deals?
No.
And was it even an issue when you brought up that you're buying and selling real estate?
No. He seemed pretty interested in it.
Because salespeople don't care.
Yeah, he don't care. He sold heavy equipment for around the world. So
okay. That's the thing about it. It's the craziest thing, right? Like, if we're not salespeople, we want to know, what am I doing? How's it going to work? And a salesperson, they just, a lead is a lead is a lead. You know, how much can I potentially make? How good are the leads that you can generate? Let me ask you this. What questions did he ask you about what you're doing? Do you remember?
Yeah, he was asking, you know, how would he have to go to the market we're in? How would he get the leads? You know what?
Yep.
How long would closings take? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I like it. So just right to the point. I mean, yeah, like you said, you have a good idea that his disc test is probably going to come back just fine.
Yeah, just talking to him for 20 minutes was – I think I know what it'll come back at.
Yep. High D, especially when they're high D, they get right to the point. They ask very direct questions. They give very direct answers. You know, they just want to know, you know, very little. It's one of those things, you know, when you're going to hire your first salesperson, you're thinking, oh, my gosh, like, you know, what are they going to ask me? And I got to be really prepared. And they really just hit you with you know, like Ben just said, do I have to drive there? Nope. Call remote. Great. How long are closings? Because he's just thinking in the back of my mind, okay, here's my percentage. Here's the range he's telling me that these are going to make. How long is it going to take me to get my first one done? You know, that's just how they see the world. So good stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hey, couple questions.
Go ahead.
Is there an assignment form in this coaching center, or is there one on FreedomSoft?
There's one in FreedomSoft, yep.
Okay. Thought so.
Yep.
And the other question is that you may have answered this on some office hours recently, that USPS certified thing?
Yep.
Find the owner deal?
Yep.
Is that part of our coaching package, or that's we pay the upfront cost on that?
Great question. Yeah, I've had a couple people ask about it, and we have taken care of it for coaching students. So shoot me an email on it.
Okay.
Just as a reminder. Yep.
Cool.
So here's what we want it to be. We want it to be secondary, right?
Yeah.
So I have talked about it on office hours. It's a slick little tool, right? Like Rob went in, they're primarily focused on Memphis, and he went in today. I'm a little hesitant. I want to share this with all of you because this is valuable, but remember, it's secondary to the bird dogs, okay? Eyes on the property is still the best way to generate vacant leads. Now, that said, Rob went in, and what you can do over the last couple days is you can refine your search a little bit. So he went into Memphis, and then he put in the county, you know, chose the state, Tennessee, put in the county where Memphis is. And then now, if you click the advanced button, you can put in a date range. And so he went like January 1st, 2015 to January 1st, 2017. So he did a two-year range, January to January. And then you can also search for absentee owners, out-of-state owners, that kind of thing. So he checked the out-of-state owner box and hit search. And so what that pulled up was, I think it was 324 vacant leads, the owner lives out of state, and they bought the house between January 1, 2015 and January 1, 2017. And so you can just start clicking through those. So you have an out-of-state owner, bought a vacant house, it's still vacant, so who knows what their intent was, but they've owned it for, you know, between 1 and 2 years based on when they bought it, and the house is still vacant. And they live out of state. So what a cool little list to get over to your sales team and to target, right? But again, do that in addition to, right, Rob is adding this piece in for his sales folks. You know, that list will now go to the skip tracer to find owner of record. Here's the other thing they did too, that he integrated it. So when you pull that list, it's pulling the owner of record and it's auto-populating those fields already. So the skip tracer just goes in and starts working them. So again, it's a sexy tool, but bird dogs first, right? He hasn't shut off the bird dogs in any way, shape, or form, but now you can pull this in addition too. So Right. Sweet little tool.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, Ben, how many leads do you have when a salesperson comes on live that are skip tracing ready to call?
110.
Okay. A salesperson working 6+ hours a day is going to roll through those. So
yeah,
ahead of that, yeah, keep the lead gen, keep it ramped up. So
I would say 80% of my numbers have been good.
That's awesome. What tool is your skip tracer using?
I think he's using Nexus.
Okay. And then you hired them. They have access to Lexis, and then you just hired them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then how much are you paying them an hour?
I'm paying them per lead.
Okay. How much?
Like 75 cents.
Okay. So there we go. I always like to get that feedback on, you know, Rob uses Intellius. I've heard from multiple sources that Lexis is the top dog when it comes to skip tracing tools. Ben found a VA that has it paying per lead. So, you know, maybe paying a little more, but he thinks 80% of the numbers are good, and he's about to get a high D salesperson on the phone. So get ready, Ben. It's about to blow. That's all I can tell you.
Okay. Well, good.
You need to start also working on buyers. Like
I got about 5, probably.
At a rapid pace.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Get those teed up. Even, right, okay. You don't even have to have a deal. Say, hey, my marketing is about to drop. Leads are about to hit. You know, I want to make sure, do you have capital that needs to be placed here in the next 60 days? That's a really good way to ask if somebody has money to spend without using the word money. Right? Do you have capital that needs to be placed here in the next 30 to 60 days? Because I'm going to be calling you with deals and just get them ready to go. And then you need to have 5 is a good start. You've got to get to 25 people, right? 25 conversations, 50 conversations. And based on what they say, some people are going to have more to spend than others, right? Here's a good question ahead of us. Hey, in a perfect scenario, the next, call it 30 to 90 days, how many new properties are you looking to acquire? And based on that, you're going to put them, right, when you have that first deal under contract, you're going to put them in order of who you're going to call back first.
Okay.
So here's the other thing. I know I'm putting a lot on your plate, but I know you and your brother are busy, so you're going to go right into those sales apps, and you're going to need a dispositions person to start working with buyers. Because you guys are both busy, which is why you're bringing on a salesperson. But a salesperson with great leads is going to turn on a boatload of deals to sell in a fairly short amount of time. And so getting them sold is also going to require a lot of your time. So a couple things you could do. You could train your salesperson to also do dispositions, right? And pay them for both sides of the transaction. So they have, you know, they can potentially earn a double commission, or you have to keep the ad posted, keep going through salespeople. Cause I'm both on the, whether they're on the sales side or the disposition side, it's a sales job. It's just on, right. There are just two transactions that happen. On one end, we're selling the seller on the contract. And on the other end, we're selling the end buyer on the deal. So that's something to consider. If you feel like, you know, this guy can be full-time and handle both sides of the equation, that's fine. Salespeople know other salespeople. So if you want to, if he works out and say, hey, here's how this is going to work. You're going to go find a bunch of contracts. We still have to sell them. You know, do you want to handle both sides of this? And be super busy? Do you know somebody else who we could maybe bring in? Do you know somebody you could oversee? I'll help train them. Right, figure that out with that salesperson, and they'll be able to help you through this.
Okay.
So, but yeah, when you're in the position you're in and you get somebody good that's consistent on the phone, it's very rare that you don't find yourself in the middle of a handful of deals to sell in a short amount of time.
All right. Sounds good.
So what's quote unquote normal is that within a couple weeks you're going to have multiple contracts to sell. So.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah, a lot on the table here, but you know, it's a lot of good stuff. That's where you want it to be.
That's right.
So yeah, check in. You know, frequent emails, as many as it takes. So, you know, we can help you get this thing ramped up because it's right at that tipping point. So plan on staying in constant communication with any questions that come up.
All right, will do.
Yep. Right out of the gate, though, Ben, it's going to be keep those leads turned on because a full-time guy is going to blow through those leads. They'll go through them pretty quick, 100
right.
some. I mean, 20, that's only, you know, they can, a lot of times they can easily get through 20 leads a day. That's 100 a week. So, you want to be 2 to 3 weeks ahead. So just get ready to ramp that up. Yep.
Will do.
So, yeah, it doesn't take a big team. You know, I've talked about it before, but let me paint the picture. When this really starts clicking, salesperson, dispositions person, full-time leads manager. Because you're going to have somebody, you know, teed up to feed the machine. And so somebody, you know, leads manager, training bird dogs, hiring bird dogs, managing bird dogs, and then getting the skip tracer in there. So, you know, can one skip tracer handle it? Do you need a couple? You know, these are all the little pieces that are going to come into play because the sales side of the business is going to be really, you know, you're going to have a driven person who's really upfront. That's going to say, I need more leads, I need more leads, I need more leads. They're going to push. So just get ready for it. You're in a great spot right here. Just get ready for it to start raining.
Okay.
So, yep. Any other questions or?
No. I think that covers it.
Good stuff. Who else?
Thanks.
Hey, Malik here.
Malik, what's happening?
I'm doing pretty good. And you?
Welcome. I'm doing good.
Thank you. Thank you. This is my first call joining the coaching program.
First call in. Yeah, nice job knocking out step one there in 24 hours.
Thank you. Not a problem.
That was perfect. Yeah, you'll step two will be pretty simple for you based on your background, but let's make sure you're dialed. You know, we find it a lot of times that investors overlook deal evaluation, and it's one of those things that, you know, it's real easy to go out into the market and shoot yourself in the foot. You know, if you're putting deals out there that aren't deals or you don't know how to run the numbers, you don't kind of know how to speak the language. You know, like I said, based on where you've been, Malik, I'm not worried about it. But it's one of those things where when you're dialed on how to evaluate a deal and you get in the middle of conversations, people instantly know that you're credible. It's just one of those things, right? I'm a golfer, so, you know, talking to a golfer – to another person that says they play golf, and anybody, right? So we all have these areas of life, right? Tom on here is a climber and that kind of thing. Within 30 seconds of talking to another person that says they play golf, I have an idea at what level they play just based on their conversation, all right? Okay. So Tom could talk to me about rock climbing, and he would know right away that I'm a noob because I don't know what bolts and anchors and all that junk are, right? What's a belay? Okay. And so he would know, okay, you know, this guy's probably never climbed a mountain. I can do it with golf. You all can do it in your different areas. Ben, I was just talking to, is an attorney. So he could talk to somebody, you know, about legal matters and have an idea that this person has some law training or this person is clueless, that kind of thing. And so that's what deal evaluation is, right? When you just know how to talk about numbers, talk the talk, it elevates your credibility with other people. So, Malik, I want you to get through it quick, but, you know, we're going to make sure that if you have any questions or we add something new that we're going to cover that stuff, right?
Right, definitely. I'm currently in the market of Philadelphia, so after doing the market research, I'm going to go ahead and focus on Cleveland now. I do have a full-time VA I'm working with, and she's doing an excellent job generating leads, and I don't have a salesperson. I had her make phone calls because she speaks very good English, but I'm going to go ahead and post the ad tonight to go ahead and get a salesperson and get that going.
I love it. Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. You know, I was I was telling you when we spoke the other day that, you know, one of the huge advantages of jumping on office hours here is, you know, you're gonna hear the conversation about where you're headed.
Right.
So, yeah, get ready. Yeah, you can. I don't ever want to say somebody's early because it sounds like you have, you know, you've got some leads they could jump on. But let's get you through step two. In step three, you're going to be hiring somebody in Cleveland to start driving and bringing vacant leads in, and those will very quickly go to be skip traced. Now, does your VA, can she do online research with skip tracing?
Yeah. I had another guy do that as far as skip tracing. I gave him a list of about 300 names, and he brought it back within 24 hours. And
beautiful.
I had my VA do all the call-ins, and I got a very strong response from that.
Okay. Yeah, give your just for fun, give your VA a disc test and see where he or she comes in on that
thing.
Because I'm not going to say a VA can't work. Right, John has a VA. I think he just chimed in. He has a VA that jumps on the phone, but she's wired to do sales. So, you know, more importantly, you know, my one hesitation with people out of the country is, are they easy to understand on the phone? That's the first one. And then, do they have a reliable phone?
Okay.
Because, you know, that's the question. You can't have calls dropping all the time when they get sellers on the phone because that's annoying. So.
Right.
If they have those two things solved, you know, this isn't about where the person is. This is about if they can get the job done. The one advantage to somebody local is you can go, you know, make calls with them, meet them for coffee, do some training. You know, I mean, we have Skype now and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to say that it can't work, but I'm just, you know, I tell everybody how Rob has set his business up and how he's done it over the years, and he typically uses VAs for research, but his sales team is always here in the States. So just that's how he sets it up.
All right. What's a good commission rate to pay a salesperson in the States?
Yeah, Rob goes I'll tell you how his guys are set up, his guys and gals. So they go 10% to 20%, and it's a rolling. It resets every Saturday at midnight. And so – if they sell, if they generate up to $17,000, or I should say less than $17,000 in wholesale fees for that week, they're at 10%. If they generate $17,001 or more, they bump to 20 for that group of leads. So then what they're doing is just tracking, because obviously they're not getting paid until the closing, which is about 30 days out. So when that deal closes, that deal gets tied back to this particular week, and in that week it was either less than 20 or more than 20, and then they're paid accordingly. And then, you know, with every salesperson, you know, the chance to earn bonuses and spiffs and fancy dinners and, you know, whatever, depending on how they're doing. But it's really, you know, running a sales team, you know, they're the rainmakers. So if you have somebody good or a couple that are good, be prepared to, you know, spend some money and keep them around because they're the ones that drive, you know, nothing happens without a sale, obviously. So, but yeah, step one, Malik, will just be to get them on board, and then, you know, we can further that conversation as things sort of unfold.
Okay.
But, and I mean, you know, we've got some ideas on it. You can certainly go to Google and say, how do you motivate a sales team? And you'll get a million ideas. But, you know, they're, like I said, you get somebody good, figure out a way to keep them on board because they'll make you a ton of money.
All right,
so,
thank you.
Yeah, you got it. You've got some great pieces in place already. I see this getting, you know, getting ramped up here in a short amount of time. So, like I said, let's get you through step two, and then, you know, right in, we'll start dialing in your lead gen systems in step three.
Okay.
Who else?
I got a quick thing to add if you got any other time, if nobody else is going to jump in.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
I've been talking to title companies in Pittsburgh, and Pennsylvania is a real expensive state for it's one of the most expensive states for fees and stuff for title companies. and I can't find anybody to do a double closing. They'll do a single closing so that you don't need flash cash. I mean, the terminology is getting me confused. But basically, it's, you know, the seller funds the whole thing,
So you primarily want to just be assigning. Sale. You want to be assigning these deals primarily,
right? These are
just tell the buyer up front. Say, hey man, everything here is above board. You know, I want to make sure this number works for you. I'm making $5,000 on it. We'll do an assignment. Does that work for you? Great. Here's the address. So, in the event that you have to, Tom, yeah, go back to your question. It's pretty common that title companies anymore, I mean, you say the word double closing and they're just, a lot of times it's, you know, I'm not going to say that a lot of title reps are not educated about it, because that would be accurate. But the word, the two words together, double closing in the industry has a stereotype tied to it.
Right.
So if they don't really know how that happens, they're just going to say, yeah, that's illegal, we can't do it. Well,
there's one guy saying that he can do it, but you need two different title policies. They won't do it without two title policies.
Right. Well, that would happen anyway because it's two different transactions. It is what it is. The issue usually with a double closing is whether you can use the end buyer's funding to fund your purchase or not.
Yeah. And
that's usually the issue.
It sounds like with this guy, it can happen, but I need two different policies, title policies, and those are
right.
Like,
that's correct anyway. They're
like
two separate transactions
each. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But
always going to have two policies because on one you're buyer and the other you're seller.
Who pays for
depends.
Those?
It depends. So if you want to cover it when you're talking to a seller, it's in the contract. Either you go 50-50. Or maybe that's one of the things you say, you know, in negotiation, maybe you give them a little less than what they want, but you say, hey, I tell you what, you know, I can only get to 20,000, but I'll cover all the closing costs. And they say, yeah, that'll work. So then you just tell the title company, and you can also put it on the contract on the A side of the transaction when you're buyer to cover all closing costs. And then on the HUD statement, they'll all be pushed to your side. When you go to sell it, You have the same, right? You have a piece of paperwork. If it's an assignment, now you're going to make your assignment fee and your end buyer is going to take whatever the terms of your contract are. So if you're paying for all the closing costs and you assign it to an end buyer for $5,000, they are now covering all the closing costs because the assignment puts them in your shoes on the contract. If it is a double close and there are two separate contracts, your contract with your end buyer will spell out who's paying for them. Either you're paying all closing costs, they're paying all closing costs, or you're splitting them 50-50. Those are the three most common.
Right. So, the end buyer, if I did just a straight assignment, the end buyer would have to pick up two title policies. Correct.
Not on an assignment. There's only one closing.
Saying. With an assignment, because the seller is funding the entire thing. He's saying that there's two.
That's not an assignment. No, I would guess. Either he misunderstood or you misunderstood his answer. There is only – when you assign a deal to an end buyer, there is one closing. When you do a double closing, regardless of if the title company lets you use the end buyer's money or not, there are two separate transactions.
Gotcha.
That's why it's called a double closing.
So there are
two title policies,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Two transactions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, now I get it. So if I do a double closing, then it could be that the end buyer pays for two policies?
No,
you get charged for
you're
that.
You're the buyer. Yeah. You're the buyer, then you're the seller.
Right.
So you're going to pay whatever closing costs you negotiated with the seller when you're the buyer,
okay.
right? And
right.
then you're going to then you're going to talk closing costs with your end buyer. You pay them all, they pay them all, or split 50-50.
Okay.
Yep.
So if I'm making, I mean,
you,
if I'm making
$10,000, you want to assign these. Just assign them.
Just a, okay. It's just what
you're having a hang up that somebody's. You're having a hang up that somebody's going to think, oh, you're making $10,000. That's too much.
Right.
And you're turning over like a 23 cap deal or something crazy.
Right.
Here's the thing, Tom. Right. Here's the thing. Tell them the thing. Say, man, I got nothing to hide. I'm trying to make $10,000 on this deal. I've got it for here. You know, here's your price, $10,000 assignment. You know, here are the numbers. These numbers are still strong.
If I had a couple people that were interested in buying it, then I'd have a little more confidence. But so far, I don't have anybody who's even interested. So it gives me a little.
How many have you physically spoken to?
One.
Okay.
No.
Let's
no.
physically talk to.
Two. Two.
Okay. Let's physically talk to 25 and then see where this is.
I'd love to do that.
Great.
I'll give it a try. I don't know if I'll be able to, but I'll give it a try. Got 32 on the list, and I made.
Tom, this is a persistence thing.
I know.
That's all it is. There are thousands of transactions in the last 2 years in Pittsburgh.
There's 32 in Braddock for
great.
For, you know.
So talk to those and the surrounding zip codes.
Yeah, I will.
And have your VA spend 3 to 4 hours tomorrow text messaging landlords.
Okay.
Who else?
Hey, Mike. Malik, hey, quick question.
Yeah.
I haven't done a transaction in Jersey yet, but New Jersey's a with the closing, you need a real estate attorney. Will I
okay.
need one for my wholesale deals as well?
Yeah. You'll have either a title company or a closing attorney. Yep. Yeah,
In Jersey, you can use either or. You can use either or, but it's more everybody likes to use a real estate attorney over here doing their closings.
So here's what you'll do in Cleveland. You'll start talking to buyers and getting to know them, right? And one of the
mm-hmm.
questions you're going to ask them is, hey, who's your investor-friendly title company around here? Who do you like to close with?
Okay.
And then just get a referral and, you know, call that, you know, get a hold of that either company or closer and just introduce yourself and say, you were referred to me by so-and-so and, you know, here's what I'm doing and that's it. So, yeah, we would here's the thing. I believe – I've never done it. I believe you can close real estate transactions without a closing agent. We would never recommend that. Put that legal third party. Yes, you pay for it, but they're going to pull the title commitment. They're going to make sure that title passes over properly, right? They're going to ensure that they found all liens so that free and clear title is passed on to the new owner. Rod has never even considered closing a transaction outside of a title company and or attorney. So
No, that wasn't the question. The question was New Jersey, you either use a title company or you can use the attorney to do the closing for you.
Right. Yeah, I know it wasn't. I'm just adding that in. I'm just adding that piece in. Yep. Yeah, you'll figure out the lay of the land from talking to buyers in Cleveland and you'll be able to find a referral.
All right.
There's a lot of activity there. Actually, I don't know if Darren's on, but if he is, he can probably tell you who to close with.
Okay.
He hasn't been on in a minute, has he?
He lives there. Yeah, I shot him an email today to see how those deals are moving.
Yeah.
John, what happened?
Was
go ahead.
What's happening? I was going to say, Who was it that had that deal in Denver? Did they ever sell that lot? Who was that?
Aaron.
Aaron. Okay. I was just curious. Yeah, I'm still waiting on my special fund buyer on that one HUD property, and we haven't got an answer from him yet. And I was talking to an agent yesterday who said that he submitted a house to this guy, same guy, and it was 3 weeks before he offered him 40, and he's getting it for 42, so I don't know, man. But we got another buyer supposed to go look at it tomorrow, I hope. On that
okay.
HUD property. And my boy in New Orleans had an appointment with the guy who has several properties down there today. And,
how'd it go?
I don't know. He said it went well, and he'll call me in a little while. And I'm anxious to know because he's on Facebook saying he's written contracts. I know it's not mine. So, but I want to write mine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he said it went well, and, you know, this guy's got a bunch of property, so I'm kind of chomping at the bit to get the report. So, we had issues with our phones the other day, and so we finally got that settled in, and right now we're using Skype, so it's working.
Okay.
Skype and Google Voice to text, and, you know, we're sending texts if we don't get them. So that's kind of part of the process. But today the phone did ring. So
nice.
There was action.
Progress.
And, yeah, she got a couple follow-ups tomorrow. So
yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them not selling. A lot of them wrong person. So, but at least the phone was ringing back to us.
Absolutely.
So, you know, she's doing about 4 hours a day, solid calling right now. So.
I know a lot of you have skip traces. I mean, Ben just chimed in and said he thinks he's getting 80% numbers through Lexus. So,
oh really?
You maybe you chimed in after that.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
He thinks it's been effective. So he's got a skip tracer, 75 cents a lead, but getting good return on the numbers. So, you know, if you feel
He has a skip tracer paying them to use LexisNexis. Okay.
Yeah, the skip tracer has access to Lexis. So, but you can put that in your Upwork ad. You can say, hey, I need a skip tracer, and I'm looking for somebody that has access to Lexis. So, access to Lexis. That's hard for me to say.
Yeah, I think I haven't looked at the numbers, man, but ours has got to be. If it's 50%, I think we're lucky.
Yeah. That's the thing too. Is I talk to Rob about it, you know, periodically, and he thinks he's 50 to 55, 60% with Intellius. So that's why I'm bringing it up.
We do Intellius and White Pages Premium. So
right,
and you kind of have to use the combination of both of them because. Intellius gives you the lineage, if there is any, you know.
Yeah.
Aaron and Contacts and then White Pages. It's kind of hard to maneuver around, but it's not all in one place. You have to do a lot of clicking on White Pages, White Pages Premium. But other than that, not one yet, but I turn my bird dog loose on the third zip code today, so we'll see what he brings.
Cool.
And, so I've got a little over 200 leads and two zip codes.
How many hours a day is your VA making calls to leads?
4.
Okay.
And then we got the little guy Skip Tracy on the. He starts in the afternoon.
Is 4 enough? Time.
Probably not.
There's no probably not. There's yes or no, and I'm asking.
Well,
I don't
know.
I'd
say no because, the other day when we were having trouble with the phones, you know, and then it just screwed everything up in an hour. And if you got somebody working 4 hours and you're working with them an hour or two trying to get the phone sorted out, then that shoots the whole shift. It's gone. So
You need a salesperson there in Birmingham.
Yeah, that's where
I'm going.
I know where you're going.
We've been talking about this VA making calls for a while, and it sounds like she's wired to do it. But the time and the access just isn't there. So it's you're losing time. You got to get somebody on the ground there.
Yes, sir.
If she has 4 hours a day and she wants to set and call through, fire it up. Then you can have a
I think she likes it, actually. Prefers it
lead,
over the...
And you can have her setting leads.
Yeah. Setting leads.
Yep.
What do you mean?
Finding motivation. And setting up the appointment and have the salesperson call back and make the offer.
Oh, yeah.
Try and close it up. Yep.
Yeah. I think she enjoys that more than the tedious admin task. So.
Yeah. This
Which
is,
she can do. She's good
this.
At all of it. But.
We've been talking about this for too long. So just get a salesperson on. Somebody there in your market.
Yes, sir. They're down there.
We should be talking about the 5 contracts you're trying to move and not a VA and a phone system. So
that is 10-4.
10-4. What other questions?
I have one.
Anybody covered? Yeah.
Within FreedomSoft. Within the lead system, is there a possibility that they can add some kind of editing tool in here for our notes?
For what?
I don't know. I end up putting a lot of notes in these things, man. It's just editing tools like, other than just straight typing.
What do you mean, an editing tool?
I don't know what you call it. Like when you make your templates and stuff like that, you can make it bold or italicize or.
Oh, gotcha. Font, yeah. Change font, bold, underline. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Interesting. Hey,
I mean, it's not anything major, but I mean, it sure would make it nice.
Type that over to me. I like that idea.
It's kind of cumbersome, though.
Yeah, once you get a bunch of notes in there, there's really no way to make something stand out, right?
Like one property here I found had a $31,000 tax and lien bill to the city.
Here's the thing is those are text. It's just like if you open a .txt, a text file, you can't do bold or underline either. I mean, you can do all that in Word, but not in a text file. It's just the raw text, and that's how the notes sections work, I believe.
Yeah.
So I don't think – it's possible, but I can at least ask. But I'm pretty sure they are. They basically handle them like text files. Not to say that couldn't be changed, because I like that idea. Because you get a bunch of notes, and then, to be able to, make a headline or, here's the right number, make it bold, red, whatever.
Yeah, little something or another. It'd be nice. So I'm using all these old, double lines and single lines and breaking things up and, just so it stands out when somebody looks at it, because it all blends together, man.
Shoot me a little note on that. I like it.
What do you call it?
I don't know. Just shoot me a note.
You'll know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right.
Formatting.
Yes. That's it.
Is that Mike chiming in?
It is.
Unbelievable.
And the mass update tool would be really, really nice. But
that would be.
Yeah. Like
there are some more custom field updates coming.
Are there?
I haven't seen exactly what they are, yeah. Rob has got these, our developers chugging, man. I know they're. This is going to be cool. They're building out a complete, and I think there's going to be a new tab in FreedomSoft called Reports, where you can go in and see all the activity that's going down.
Yeah, that would be nice.
So you can just go in like a full-on reports page that just, you know, gives you a snapshot of all the activity that's happening. So I saw a little preview of it a couple of days ago. It's slick. So.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. All right, brother.
Go ahead.
My boy was just calling me. I think I'm gonna hang up and get my report.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, go get that report.
I might be writing a contract. So.
I hope so.
Yeah, man.
All right, John. Talk soon.
All right, brother. See you. Thanks.
Yep. So, Mike, with you on the phone, we could probably turn this into a Geek Squad session, huh?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, why not? Hey, where are you at with a salesperson? Wasn't that our last conversation?
Yeah, I was basically just waiting for to get my my leads skip trace. So I was waiting for the ability to get the owner put into FreedomSoft. So I finally went through all those. I just did it myself. It didn't take that long. And then I exported that. I sent it to a VA yesterday. So he was supposed to have them all done. There's 312 of them. He's supposed to have them done today, but apparently it took him a little longer than he thought. So he has access to LexisNexis and TLO.
Nice.
So,
that's home run right there. And then how much are you paying him?
40 cents a lead.
Holy smokes.
Yep.
So right now Ben's thinking, how do I get that guy's contact info?
Yeah. Well, I can send it out. I mean, he wants it in a spreadsheet format, so I had to export it, and then he'll put it in, and I'll just export it back.
There's a little extra work. Yeah.
Yeah, but not really. I mean, minutes, not that.
Yeah, that's a smoking price.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do you have an ad posted for a salesperson?
I don't. I kind of just, maybe it's the wrong thinking, but I thought I wanted to go through a few myself just to kind of get the process down a little bit before I try to train somebody on it.
Yeah, wrong thinking.
Okay.
normal thinking, but wrong thinking. Yeah, here's the thing. You won't be able to train, if you're not a salesperson, you won't be able to train a salesperson on what they do. Cut them loose with a script. Give them what you can bring to the table is, you know, the scripts, right? You can grab those right from the coaching center and get them set up and say, hey, here's what you're going to be saying. Initially, if you just want them to set you to make the offer, that's fine. If you have somebody that's sharp, just teach them how to run numbers really quick. You know, teach them how to analyze deals, right? This is where we're talking about when you grab that list from ListSource and map it, and then they can go into an area, even if they have to tell the – you know, even if they have to tell the seller, hey, let me call you right back. Because here's what they could do, Mike, is they could say, they could call you and say, hey, walk me through this thing. And you could just run the numbers live with them on the phone real quick and say, call back and, you know, offer them 18 grand, see what they say.
Okay.
So you can have them do it, but just say, yeah, on the first few, you're going to get somebody that's motivated. You're going to end with this sentence. Hey, let me run some numbers real quick, do a little due diligence, and I'll call you back and make you a fair offer. Does that sound good? Right? And then set up a time to call them back, and then they get you on the horn, and you guys talk it through real quick. Bam, point them in the right direction, let them go do their thing. You'll do that 5 to 10 times, and then they'll be off and running. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's,
salesperson.
That sounds good. I mean,
salesperson.
People have to be pretty open to that, right? Sellers, I mean, if they say, hey, let me run some numbers, I can't imagine anybody would be offended by that. They would hope that you would, you know, take some time to think about it. So,
eventually go to the offer on that first call. Just make it right there. And if your salespeople have the tools that we talk about on here all the time, they'll be able to do that. So when Rob, when he pulls that list from ListSource and buys it and then maps it, he uses obviously Batch Geo, but his sales team gets access to that map clearly. Because they go in and they figure out where the address is, and they go in and they look at the surrounding pins, and you say, hey, all the absentee transactions in this area are between 18 and 26,000. Your salesperson knows right where they need to be. perfect. Okay. I need to be at, you know, based on condition, you're right. They have to get a feel for that a little bit, but they need to be at right around 18 grand. Mark it up five, and you're right in the sweet spot. So the data, you just can't argue with data. It tells you exactly what is happening in the area.
Oh, yeah. I never argue with data, Mike.
I know you don't. I was saying that for the benefit of everybody else.
Oh, okay. So wouldn't it be easier and cleaner just to always just pay cash for them and then just sell it after the fact, just to avoid the whole, oh, what's this assignment fee and all this other stuff? Just go ahead and buy them and then just.
It seems like it, but what's really clean and you have no skin in the game is to just assign it.
Okay.
It doesn't get any cleaner than that. Yeah, legitimate buyers will have no issue with you getting paid. Zero.
Yeah, good point. I mean, I went to a house today that was by a wholesaler here in Denver. Have you heard of Home Trust Wholesale in Denver here? There's a house I went and looked at today over at Edgewater by Sloan Lake.
Oh, yeah. Home Trust is Jason and Hope.
Oh, you know them?
Yeah. I just
put
two and two together. Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are, I mean, they got deals coming out almost every day now. And there's probably 15 people there when I went there today.
Yeah, they like to do the open house model and have a bunch of people show up and create this, holy crap, I better get my offer in. And it totally works. Here's the thing about it.
It looks like it did.
You can make money in a high price market. I talked to them a couple years ago, and they're spending at least 15 grand a month in direct mail. So that, you know, and Rob knows he could turn that on here, but it's going to take you 60 days to get some momentum, maybe 90, and you're going to spend 10 grand plus in direct mail to go drop that. So they've been at it for a long time. You know, they've been established wholesalers in Denver for years, but that's what it takes. They're making a lot. They're spending boatloads to make it happen. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, this house was they kind of do a bidding war type deal too, right? They want you to, it's like a blind auction. You got to put your best price in. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, this house was like 140 grand, two blocks from Sloan's Lake. I mean, it's small, like probably 900 square feet. Needed a lot of work.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's going to get bid up probably more than it's even worth.
Yeah.
It would definitely need addition. It's a big lot, 7,000 square foot lot. So there's definitely room to put an addition on or scrape it or whatever you want to scrape it. But
yep.
I guess it
had to
probably take 100 grand.
For 140,000, it had to be west of Sheridan there, right? Edgewater?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, there's no way that was in Sloan's. I'm sure their email said near Sloan's Lake, though.
It did say near Sloan's, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. You go across Sheridan, and that is not the same neighborhood.
No, definitely not. It's surrounded by apartment buildings, too. It's probably a bigger project than I'd want to take on without having some time to focus on it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can play ball in Denver if you want, but you're almost never going to be, unless you want to drive all the direct mail, you're going to be in a bidding war on every deal out there.
Wait,
if you want to buy in Denver again, Mike, because you live here, great. Wait till it all comes tumbling down again. Be ready to knock yourself out. Denver will be good again.
I'm going to do that. I mean, I wish I would have held on to all my rentals that I've sold in the last, you know,
yes, you do.
5 years.
Yeah. That's what Brad, you know, Rob's partner right now is, he fixed up all of his rentals. He's selling them. He's buying little brick, you know, ranches in Memphis. And I think he's his monthly cash flow, because he can buy so many more houses, I think is going up 3.5 or 4 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway. Here's the thing, you guys. You want to follow Rob's methodology. Make as much as possible before the next crash, and use your wholesaling business to meet as many possible private lenders as you can, and start to have this conversation, right? go make money with your private lenders now, but let them know that when this thing comes down again, we're going to spend every dime you got to tell them you got to be willing to spend every dime you have. I'll operate it. We're going to buy them up. We're going to rent them. We're going to hold them for, 5 to 7 years, let Denver recover, and then sell at the top of the market when it peaks again. That's Rob's $30 million mistake out of 2008, 2009, and 2010.
Mm-hmm. I think a bunch of us made that same mistake.
Yeah. I mean, and he had a, he tells the story. It's not really funny. He laughs when he tells it, but he had a guy that was a former wholesaler turned hard money lender. They're having lunch. He remembers the restaurant. I can't remember where it was in Denver. And Rob's telling him what he's doing. He's like, yeah, I'm putting this $10 million fund together and this, that, and the other. We're going to do fix and flips. And the guy puts down his fork and says, don't flip them. He says, here's what you do. Spend all $10 million, winterize the houses, board up the windows, wait 7 years, and then sell them.
Then fix them up and sell them.
Shut off the utilities, hold them for 7 years and sell them. And, clearly you would rent them, but he was driving home a point. He goes, this is what you could do, and in 7 years you'll be all done, and, you can work if you want.
Half a fraction of the work, too, because – all the work that I did over the last 5 years flipping these houses, it certainly paid, but I could have probably just bought, some of these houses I paid $50,000 for, $75,000 for now, they're worth $150,000 to $200,000 without doing anything at all.
With doing nothing. I could have just sat
on them and tripled my money.
If they would have, right, exactly. So, turn $10 million into $40 million, pay back
easy.
The original, and that's the $30 million. That's the $30 million that he left on the table.
Right. Yeah, you triple it.
He had some partners in there, but you can split up $30 million a lot of ways and still be pretty happy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Woulda, coulda,
shoulda. So Darren, how are you? Man, where you been?
I'm good. I almost forgot about the call tonight. I looked at my watch and there's 10 minutes left. I was like, I'm gonna jump on and get the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, give me an update quick, and then I've got something to head to tonight. How are these deals?
All right.
Where are you at in Pittsburgh?
We're getting really close to selling one. It's a deal that this guy won't budge. He wants $40,000 for it. So we finally – there's a tenant living in there. So we're like, oh, this thing's rental ready. His daughter's living there.
Yeah.
It can't be that bad. So we send over one of our investors. He's super excited about it. He's ready to buy this thing. And he goes inside and he starts sending us these pictures. And the seller told us that he needed a new roof. What he didn't tell us was that it's raining inside the house. And so there's buckets all over and the drywall's falling down and stuff's everywhere. And so we're like, listen, man, you're going to have to come down. He's like, I told you this place needed work. We're like, yeah, you told us it needed a roof, but you just simply forgot to mention the buckets of water.
Right.
And so he was gotten a little heated today. I said, you know what, Sawyer, I think we just need to let him cool off. We'll call him back tomorrow and just try to calm him down and say, yeah, we offered you $40,000, but we didn't even see the place. We took your word for it,
Right. Yeah. You got to put it back on him.
Yeah. He's trying to put it on us. You told me you'd give me $40,000 and I'm not taking a dime. You're not chewing me down and blah, blah, blah. We're like, listen, put yourself in our shoes, man. We walked into the house. You embarrassed us, basically, because we sent our investors over there to go look at this place. And then they call us up and they said, what are you trying to sell us here with all this damage and everything going on in here? You didn't even tell us about it. So that's the approach we're going to take tomorrow.
Right.
So I think we're going to try to get them down to 35 and get the seller up to 45, see if we can squeak 10 out of it. But
how much work does it need?
Well,
I mean, it's got somebody living there, but you own it, it's still your problem.
Yeah, so Sawyer thought originally, since it was rental ready and someone was living in it, he's like, we could probably put $10,000 into this house and get the roof fixed and paint it and carpet and re-rent it.
Heck no.
No,
not gut, now. You're going to have to gut drywall, remediate mold.
Right.
Flooring.
So now it's at least, you know, I don't know, maybe 10 to 15 just to remediate the water damage. And but even still, it's like it's not the best part of town, and still you can still make, you know, a good 15% on your money as a rental, even with the additional costs. So we're going to wrestle both sides of that if you know, to just try to get the buyer up and the seller down and just try to stretch it a little bit and get some money out of it.
Yeah.
But
tell you what, if he comes down, try and turn a quick five and see if somebody will take it.
Right.
At the end
of
the day, you're going to – this one needs – it sounds like it needs a lot of work. I haven't seen the pictures, but if you've – you know, the last rainstorm – a few rainstorms or for how long this has been going on.
Oh, yeah. It's been going on for months.
That thing's going to have mold everywhere.
Sure, sure.
So
I think the guy – I think the buyer is at 35 right now and the seller is at 40. So we've got some work to do for sure to, like – And my take on it was to just calm the guy down and just say, look, I'm not trying to change your mind about the price. I'm just telling you, here's from our perspective what we walked into.
Yeah,
and
here's the reality.
Here's the reality is we walked in and, like, you didn't say 1 ounce of anything
about.
So
do this. Say, I'll give you 40, you put the roof on it and fix the stuff inside and give me a house that's worth it. Because every time it rains, it's raining inside. So,
right. Even if you just fix the roof, it doesn't fix the all. See, we knew that it needed a new roof, but we didn't know that it was so bad that, like.
You didn't know the inside was trashed. Yeah.
He didn't know. He didn't mention one. And then when he said, "Oh, my daughter lives there," we're like, "Oh, it can't be that bad." Like maybe some.
She lives in a rainforest.
Oh, I can't even believe people can live. But they don't see it that way. They see.
Hey,
you know, they just
be ready to send. Ask him. When's the last time you were inside this thing? And just ask him and say, check your email. I'm sending over 10 pictures right now. You tell me what this thing means.
When was the last time you were in there? Ah, I see. When was the last time you were in there? That's true, because if his daughter was in there, he may never even go there.
No, and then she says, yeah, Dad, the place is fine. Okay.
Everything's
great.
Cool, and it's just crumbling down around her. She doesn't give a shit. She's probably just partying and whatever. And so, but on another front, we do have some good news. Sawyer put a 4-unit building under contract today for $20,000 and another single family house under contract for $20,000. So
nice.
He's cranking. My dilemma is the guy said, you know, when I hired him back in July, he said, listen, he's like, I can string myself along with no income, work on a commission basis till September. When September gets here though, he's like, I'd like you to either hire me or, you know, so his whole beef is right now is like, hey, listen, you know, 10% maybe when this thing is up and rolling and everything's great and we're making money, that's fine. But he's like, I can't live. He's not able to, and he's putting them on the board. We're just not able to sell them, you know. And I think that the area that we're in right now is maybe a little bit too depressed. So it's easy to put them on the board, maybe not so easy to sell them. And now we're moving into some better areas, like the one that we've got for $40,000. I mean, it's probably the most expensive property we have on the contract. And so the buyers are starting to become interested in these now. We just need to tighten up the numbers.
Right.
So I think what I might do, and I know, I already know what you're going to say, but Sawyer seems like a really good dude, and he's I might have him work for me as an assistant like 2 days a week.
Yep.
And, like, work for $15 an hour. He wants me to put him on the payroll, though, as a W-2 employee, which is so – but he's just so good, and I feel like if I keep him around, he wants to learn the business. He wants to learn real estate. I think I might just put him on the payroll for $15 an hour just so that I can keep him going long enough to where our disposition team can catch up to him.
I think so. You know, based on what you're telling me, he's getting it done. He's putting them on the board. So I think you go to him and you say, hey, this is a temporary fix. If you don't want him on W-2, Darren, this is the golden rule. Whoever has the gold makes the rules.
Yeah.
And you're the one paying. So say, hey, man, you're doing great. I want to take care of you. we've got to get obviously the disposition side figured out. We will. We're making steps in the right direction. Here's the thing. Let's not put you on W-2. You can write everything off if I keep you 1099, but let's bring you in for a couple hours. We'll have you do this. You know, we can guarantee some of it, but tell them this is temporary, man. You're a rock star sales guy. That's where you're going to make more. That's where you need to be. That's the seat on the bus we want you in. So let's figure this out temporary. Let's get these closings moving, and we'll shift you back over.
Yeah, how do I – so his
– I just want to interject real quick. Here's a thought. Like, my biggest problem with getting a sales guy is, like, just consistently being able to get enough stuff to keep them busy and keeping enough deals come in. Why can't people share a good sales guy? Like, if to keep his guy busy, why can't we feed him our leads and then – you know, have him get a cut or however we work it out, but then you could keep them consistently busy and they could make a lot more money without having to spread it across like 10 sales guys, which is a lot harder to do from a lead standpoint.
He's busy.
Well, Darren,
he's got 12
houses
under contract.
You have leads. Yeah, they just need to get one to the closing table so Sawyer can get paid because he's on commission.
Right. Yeah, so my other idea was, hey, let me just throw you $1,000 this month for September to cover your rent and whatnot as like a float for your first deal that's going to close hopefully sometime in September. And so he's putting up plenty of numbers up on the board. I think, you know, and I'm busy enough. I have enough crap to keep him busy. You know how I am. It's hard to give up control. So I'm like, what am I going to give him to do? What should I, I have so much to give him to do, but what do I give him to do? What do I give him access to? What do I feel comfortable giving him access to?
Right.
What can I give him to work on that doesn't require me sitting right next to him the whole time anyways, and it doesn't make sense for me to pay him $15 an hour when I'm doing the work too? So I'm wrestling with all this. And the one thing that – the one argument that he's got about staying on W-9 or 1099 is that he wants to qualify for mortgages. That's what he's got in his head. And he's like, if I don't get a W-2 job.
On a couple hours a week at $15 an hour, that's not going to do it anyway. How does that solve his problem?
So let me rephrase that. He wants to be a W-2 employee, period, so that he can qualify for mortgages. Because what he's saying is if he's not W-2, the mortgage terms are going to require him to be 1099 for 2 years before they'll even look at him. So that's his whole dilemma. And I don't know how to get around that truthfully without.
Well, you've got to know a lender. So what is it? I mean, you can't have a W-2 job for 60 days either and qualify.
No, it's like like 6 months versus 2 years. So
Here's the thing. He wants to be W-2, but he's going to be paid on commission, I think. And so, I mean, you can do both, but.
Oh yeah. Let me ask you that. Can I pay him on W-2? Can I pay him on W-2 for the hours that he works for me as an assistant? But as far as the sales position goes, if he makes any sales, can I have him on both? Is that even allowable?
You gotta go to your state and figure out, right? That's employee law. But yeah, you can be a W-2. I mean, see how it works there, but you can pay somebody W-2 and then bonus them off. So every time like a jewelry company or a mortgage company, you're hearing that on the radio, our employees aren't paid commission. You know, they use it as a marketing thing to say, you know, they're not going to pressure you. Well, you can bet your last dollar that they're paid a bump, right? There's a base. And then they're paid a bump on sales, percentage of sales. So, Darren, here's the thing, man. You want a salesperson you want them to want the full commission because that's where the hustle comes from, where they start seeing green and say, hey, if I put six more on the board and we get these things moved.
Right.
And then I get this guy's dilemma. It's kind of an interesting little – hey, and I've got to drive, too, to a deal tonight, so I'm in the road. If there's some background,
No,
you're fine. I'm just gonna.
Okay.
I'm talking on speaker while I drive. So.
So here's the deal, though. If I put him on W-2, $15 an hour, just helping me around the office, do odds and ends, And then eventually in a month or two, we start rolling these commissions. He's going to want to spend less time jerking around at $15 an hour, and he's going to want to be on the phones more. I don't have any.
Well, you want him on the phones. I mean, you're trying to find hourly work for him to keep him on board, but that wasn't the intent in hiring him.
No, absolutely not. I thought in 3 months that we would have some of these deals cracking so that it would be putting money in his pocket and he would at least see the light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe not putting the money in his pocket yet, but at least see the dollar signs like coming in. So I'm in a real kind of, I'm in a little bit of a dilemma here, and I wish I could just hire him as a 1099 part-time employee, $15 an hour, but then when he makes sales, pay him the sales commissions, you know. But I think he's just going for it all and wants to be W-2, and
yeah.
So
but that's expensive,
I guess,
right? Unemployment, Social Security tax. I mean, that's a significant amount of money over and above $15. Probably have to get him some sort of insurance. Who knows?
Yeah. Do you have other W-2 employees there?
No, we have no employees whatsoever. It's just me.
I'm telling you that I wouldn't walk that road. And exactly for what Mike is saying, you're not just going to pay him his $15 an hour.
Well, what if I cut? I mean, even if I cut it down to five, I don't think that really solves the problem. It's still now I have an employee on my staff.
Yep.
What other assistant though could I even hire that would work for me? You know, when I eventually hire that full time assistant to really work for me. They're going to need, like, okay, for example, this person that they hired on to do lead gen, isn't that person a W-2 employee, or is that a 1099?
I would have to ask. I don't know, but it's a little bit different setup. I mean, Rob's had a corporation around for almost 20 years now, and he's got the whole media side of the business, and real estate just plugs in, and so that's just already in place.
So he has employees. He has to have some employees.
He does.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying is that that's all been in place for a long, long time. So you can have an assistant 1099.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to pay W-2, but yeah, you open that. Here's what you've got to do: a little research on that with the state and say, hey, here's what I'm thinking about doing. What does this mean? But I feel like. It seems like Sawyer's the right guy, but I wouldn't budge on the 1099 thing. That's my opinion on it.
How do I make him feel better about somehow? How do I make him feel better about somehow?
Here's the thing. It is pretty common for a sales type company. You know, you get somebody on and you say, hey, he's built a lot of momentum, you know, let's pull a draw against future commission, that kind of thing to keep him in.
Mm-hmm.
He's dead set on this buying a house thing, W-2. At the end of the day, if that's all he's looking for, that, you know, this may not be a great fit. And you can still pay him on deals that he generated, but that's the reality of it. If he won't budge off the W-2 and you won't pay him W-2, then this is,
I'm trying to solve
this
problem, though, somehow.
I get it.
But
I get it, but just don't amplify some of your problems by trying to solve his. You know what I mean?
If he wasn't so good at what he's doing, I would say I'll just tell him no. If he says no and he leaves. But I feel like I've got a little bit more to lose if I've got a couple months
here's
invested.
The thing. Yeah, here's the thing, Darren. There are thousands of other really good salespeople that can help Sawyer choose. Easy. There are thousands
mm-hmm.
of people that can, right? I mean, people have specialized skills, right? There are the brain surgeons of the world. We're not hiring for brain surgery here. We're hiring
mm-hmm.
for phone sales. And this is the scenario, and I get it. You guys have a relationship now. Things seem to be working. This is part of being a business owner, right? It's not say, hey, man, I want to work with you. You're doing a great job. Let's find our win-win. But you got to tell them this W-2 thing isn't going to fly. Say, I don't have anybody paid W-2 currently. This isn't the direction that we wanted to set out. I mean, you never told him that you would pay him W-2 eventually, right?
Well, he's brought it up several times, and I just told him I would think about it. He probably, from the beginning, thought that he could talk me into it. I'm sure that that's where this is going to go. So I hope he doesn't get mad at me and say,
you led me on. If you told him you would think about it. Because say, hey, man, I've thought about it. Here's the reality. This works better 1099.
Yeah. Darren, what's he trying to do, buy his own personal residence, or is he trying to do rental properties? Because
he's trying to lease to own. He's trying to buy rental properties. He bought his first one. He's just fixed it up with some money that he's had, and he's rented it out. He's actually got more like a group home thing going on. He's rented out bedrooms in the house that he's living in. And he wants to buy another one. And so he feels like if he could just get hired on as a W-2 somewhere, but he's not going to have any income.
No,
unless
he won't be able to do it. It gets harder and harder. The more you try to get through traditional lending, the bank will just say no. I mean, unless he's making a lot of money, I mean, it's not going to help him at all.
So he needs to stay on the sales side.
He needs private money. Mike, that was a great question because I thought he was trying to buy his own house.
He
needs private money.
Yep. Exactly. That's why I'm saying maybe you could do a rent to own. You could find a good deal. You could finance it and have him do a rent to own through you. But if he's trying to do a bunch of rentals, I mean, private money. Because he won't get it through a traditional lender, not nowadays, especially now that they've tightened it up so much.
You don't want a traditional lender anyway. Because then
I wouldn't.
It's you versus them. So watch what Rob does that's so slick on a note with a private lender. Let's just call it – let's say he's going to do a fix and flip, whatever the exit strategy is, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is all built into the note. Plan A, this deal goes to plan. We list it. We get close to asking price. Rob, as owner, gets paid this way. Private lender gets paid this way, right? Whatever was negotiated. Plan B, house doesn't go exactly as planned. We have to sell at a discount. If that happens, Rob makes less as defined by this. Private lender makes less as defined by this. Plan C, all hell breaks loose, can't sell property, have to turn it into a rental, in which case here's what happens. Private lender's money stays in place. Rob becomes operator, finds a tenant. If rent comes in that month, Rob makes X amount of net rents. Private lender makes X amount of net rents, and they ride out the storm until they can sell it, and then they each split it up according to these terms. And so what happens there is you go borrow money from a bank and things go sideways, wrecked credit and foreclosure. You work with a private lender and be intelligent about the note, and you and the lender are on the same side of the table, and there's no loss. There's just the two of you, it spells out the terms of how you're going to get out based on a few different scenarios.
So you guys are saying private money. Let me throw out another real quick example. So we just bought another rental property that we're closing on the 1st of September. It's a two-family. It's got three bedrooms in each unit. I'm probably going to make about $2,500 a month on the house. I picked it up for $130,000, and it probably needs about $20,000 in work. So I'll be in at $150,000. So my return on investment is about 14% or 15% if I pay cash for it. Now, I don't have very many traditional mortgages with anybody, but I qualify for whatever, a couple more till I hit the limit. Would you suggest that I go that route for this house and refi it? I pay cash for it and then refi my money back out with like a traditional mortgage at 4% or 5%, or I have a $5 million line with Lima One and with another one with not American Colony, but anyways, Lima One is the one I want to use. So it's 2 points up front, 6.99% on a 5-1 arm, 6.99% with a prepaid payment penalty of 5 points that decreases 1 point every year till the fifth year. Which route would you go?
I would put on my What Would Rob Do bracelet and wholesale it, generate cash, and pay cash for rentals and be debt-free on all your real estate.
And not leverage it at all.
Rob has argued this to the moon with quote-unquote really intelligent financial people.
Yeah.
And everybody who got run over during the last crash had debt on their real estate.
Mm.
I've paid cash for all of them, all my rentals.
That's what caused
all paid off.
That's how you get run over. So wholesale it, use the business to generate cash, go in and pay cash for a rental. It's a good rental, zero debt against it. You have fewer, but the risk is
zero.
Way down because you have property taxes.
You have no risk,
some,
like barely none.
Maintenance. Yep. So use the business
Why
to generate
not?
Cash, pay cash for them. If Rob uses debt, it's with a private lender and they're on the same side of the table. There's no loss. There's no potential for loss because they work it out. I mean, right, there's some risk in it, right? All, you know.
Sure. What if you leverage yourself a little bit, though, instead of saying zero leverage? Because obviously, you know.
I'll just tell you how he does it. He does zero.
Zero.
Yep.
I mean, like, let's just say you borrowed 50% LTV or something. I feel like that would be.
He does zero.
Yeah.
Darren, every piece of leverage when that house sits vacant is a faucet you just turned on. It's called a mortgage that has to be paid, and it's coming out of your pocket.
Right.
And the more you leverage, the more you have. That was, I mean, the same conversation everybody was having in 2005, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Real estate will always appreciate. The same wind is blowing today that was blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Real estate always appreciates. It's the safest play out there. Buy it, refinance it, roll the money into the next one. You can't lose. And the same thinking when it crashes will, you don't go to zero. You just blow past zero and wave at it on the way by into the hole that you dig.
Right. So
yeah, I knew a guy that gave up seven. He had seven houses that were all new builds. You know, we were killing it back then. We'd make our money when we closed. We'd walk away from closing on buying a house with $15,000 because they had financed 110% or more. And this guy did it over and over. And when the market crashed, he just walked away from all and filed bankruptcy. He just let them all go. He couldn't rent them out, couldn't sell them.
Yeah, that's your solution. And guess what I just heard on the radio the other day? I just about crashed at the wheel. I was driving into the office, and I went straight to Rob's office. And I told him what I just heard. So there's this mortgage company out here, and it's got this guy just has one of those sort of annoying voices, and he's all over TV and radio. He's got this mortgage company. And he said that you don't have to have a W-2. You can do bank statement loans for income.
What?
And I about crashed at the wheel, and I walked into Rob's office, and I said, listen to this ad I just heard on the radio about how you can qualify for a mortgage now. And I was like, didn't we see the end of Titanic? Don't we know how this ends?
How did they get that to fly?
He starts shaking his head. Because the confidence comes back, and then they start loosening up again. So,
was it Ed Szymanski?
I'm not budging on this one. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, I hear those all the time. Who doesn't know
Doc Lowe's? I thought
that
there was some federal law. I thought there was some federal law that they couldn't even cross that line. Like, I thought that there was some hard line in the same. Well, I guess if you're a private or a bank and you want, it's, you can lend on whatever you want. You can lend a.
Well, the banks are playing by the federal stuff and the bank charters, but you get pooled funds together that want to back mortgage-backed securities.
Yep.
And it's private money. They can buy whatever the heck they want.
Right.
And now they crowdfund it.
About lost it.
Yeah.
So here we go.
They're crowdfunding these things now, like a REIT almost, but it's like crazy. Yeah, they don't, if they're not doing a Fannie Mae back mortgage or, I mean,
they can do whatever they want.
Probably do whatever they want. There's no regulations.
Right.
Yeah, you can buy, it's your money. You can buy what you want with it. So.
Gotcha.
Anyway, I about fell over and swerved into the ditch. So, hey guys, I have to, I've got to run right now, but, Darren, this is wholesale it. Let real estate generate cash. Let it pile up. Go pay cash for a rental and do it that way. And then when the market crashes and that house sits vacant for a couple months, you sleep like a baby and watch.
Go buy
it. Read the stories about everybody else going under.
Gotcha. So just really quick before I know you got to go, I think my sales pitch to Sawyer then tomorrow is going to be just all about that. It's like, listen, I know you want to go get mortgages, but that's not the way you're going to build it. You need to build it this way.
And tell him you do not want to build this with debt.
You don't want to build it with debt.
And I'm your friend, and here's how you want to do this. You got to go find private lenders. We'll get on the same side of the table with you, and that's fine. Do not build
right.
it with traditional debt.
Right. So he doesn't need to be W-2. I'll tell him the reasons for that. I'm going to say you need to be a sales guy. You need to stay under my wing. You need to just ride this out. I'm going to help you by giving you $1,000 a month until we put some money on the board. I'd rather do that. I'd rather just hand him $1,000 bills.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
Until we close a deal. And
absolutely.
I'll just say,
let him find owner carry deals. If you can help him
that's
find deals, do an owner carry. I mean, that's a better way to go because they're not going to foreclose. There's almost no chance that they'll do that if you're unless it's like a year or so. A bank, you know, they're going to start stuff right away. I did an owner carry back. This guy said, I want 35 and I'll carry the loan for 8 years. I got somebody else into the house. They gave me 60 and I said I'd carry the loan for 5 years. And then I just made the difference on the wraparound. So way easier in my opinion.
All right.
Yeah, there's no risk in it. Yeah,
appreciate it.
That setting up debt now ahead of the crash is 180 degrees from Rob's strategy, based on his $30 million mistake. That is the opposite of strategy. So, all right, guys, great conversation tonight.
Appreciate
I got to run.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys.
Couple days.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.